I found the answer. That's how I sing. Very good. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I told Savannah the other day, I was listening to her because she sits up front in the choir. I said, "Why aren't you singing?" She just looked at me, you know. So you did good. Did very good. Appreciate that. Good job. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I feel like I've preached a lot to y'all lately. Y'all probably getting tired of me. I'm getting tired of hearing myself. I know that. But I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate Pastor letting me preach again. And he is away there doing the ordination of Tyler Gillett. So pray for that tonight. And Galatians chapter 1. I may have told you Colossians earlier for the thing, but it's Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Of course, Paul writes to the Galatians, and of course we know that there's several churches in the southern part of the Roman province of Galatia. And of course you have Lystra, Iconium, and all Derbe, and all these churches that were established in the southern part of Galatia. And Paul writes to them, and he first states in chapter 1 his apostleship, of course, who he was and why he was writing this letter to them. And this letter was a letter kind of correction. It was a letter of encouragement for them to go back and go and live in under grace. The Judaizers had came in, and in verse chapter 3, he talks about old foolish Galatians. He said, "Who hath bewitched you?" And so he's giving them encouragement that they're being entangled again into this yoke of bondage, that they're going back from grace into the law. They're mixing law and grace together, which is like water and oil. It doesn't mix. And so he is encouraging them to follow grace. And of course, we understand in the book of Romans, he told us that what grace is for. It's not for us to go out and sin, but it's the enablement of us. And so anyway, he's giving this encouragement. He's giving also this kind of a staunch charge to them and encouraging them to go back to grace and to stay in grace and to live in grace. But also he gives his history a little bit here in chapter 1. And so he's kind of given his apostleship and kind of his story. And that's what we want to look at tonight in verse 13. Verse 13, the Bible says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in times past." And that word conversation means kind of who he was, what he did, okay? He said, not necessarily what he said. It says, "You heard my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." That word wasted, just another word for destroyed it or to overthrow something. That's what Paul did. That's who Paul was. That was what his past was. He said that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. Now, can I remind you that this is a man who wrote most of the New Testament? This is a guy who we would say, if I couldn't be like, you know, if Jesus was asking you, who would you want to be like in the Bible, in the New Testament, all of us would probably choose we'd like to be like Paul. But the problem is that a lot of us want to be the end result and not where he started at, right? And Paul went through a lot to get to where he was, even in this portion of Scripture. Verse 14, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Jew of all Jews. Paul was a ruthless guy. Now look at what he says in verse 15. "But when it pleased God," I like that, "when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Paul mentions grace a lot, doesn't he? I believe he knew what grace was all about. He says in verse 16, he says, "to reveal his son," where? "In me." Boy, think about that statement. "To reveal his son in me that I might preach." Whoa, wait a minute. He went from persecution to preaching. Isn't that amazing? Went from, in verse 14, verse 13, he was a persecutor, and verse 16, he's a preacher. By the way, all of us have this same testimony. We'll get in that in a minute. He said, "that I may preach him among the heathen." That means predominantly among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That was a calling that God, and he goes on to talk about the calling of God, that he's not called to men. He was not sent by men. He was sent by God, and his calling was from God. So tonight we'll preach on a menace to a masterpiece. A menace, that's what he was. He was a menace. You ever heard that statement? A menace to society, or Dennis the menace? Paul was a menace to the church, but ended up being a masterpiece of the grace of God. And we'll look at that tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for changing lives. Thank you for changing mine. Lord, thank you for taking us from the pit of sin and placing a lot of us in the pulpits and the Sunday school rooms and the church. And God, where we would not be if it were not for you and for grace. I ask, Lord, tonight that you'd help us, you bless us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we look of how the New Testament was written, half of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. And let me remind you, he was an apostle called of God. That's why he writes the book of Galatians. In the first chapter of Galatians, he says he was called of God to be an apostle, not of the original 12. But after that, God called him to be an apostle. And then you can look at that in Acts chapter 9, where he saw the light, Paul was saved, Paul was called. And God sent him to the heathen, or to the Gentile nation at that time. Paul didn't start out as the greatest missionary. Paul started out as the greatest sinner. By the way, we all start there. We all start out on the level ground of being a sinner. And sometimes we think, boy, if I could just be like him, if I could just be like her. But can I tell you, you can through the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God helping you, because we all start lost. You say, well, I'll never be great. Well, no, I hope you humbly say that, but I hope you can say that as Paul did in verse 16, he said to reveal his son where? In me. He said, I want to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And so as we look at Paul's life, I want to show you three things. I knew y'all couldn't guess that, but I will show you three things tonight that I think help us to see how he went from a menace to a masterpiece. Number one, we see the wreckage of the churches. The wreckage of the churches in verses 13 and 14. He says that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That was his job. That was his goal, was to wreck the church predominantly in Jerusalem. By the way, if he could ruin the church in Jerusalem, he could ruin the other churches, because the church at Jerusalem was kind of the mother church. The council was there. That kind of was the council of all the churches. It was there in Jerusalem. And Paul understood that if I can get the mother church, I can destroy all the churches. By the way, we must be careful here at Heritage, because we got three sister churches that have been started out of this church. This church goes under. It affects also Dois Walton. It affects Jason Pugh. It affects James Stone, and we must be careful what we do here. Because can I tell you, there's souls out there trying to get into our churches and make a wreckage of it. The devil loves wrecking yards. You know what wrecking yards are good for? Scrap metal. Those cars don't run anymore. Their engines don't crank up anymore. Those seats don't hold people anymore. They're just there. That they're waiting to be destroyed. They're waiting to be chopped up. And can I say that God doesn't want us to be a wrecking yard? And by the way, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And we must remember that. The wreckage of the church. Turn back to Acts chapter 1, or Acts chapter 7. Let's start in Acts chapter 7. I'll try to go through some of these. Acts chapter 7. I want to show you Paul's life as a menace. I was going to preach on a mess to a masterpiece, but menace fit better. But we all come from a mess. And God just tries to make us His best. You know, you've heard that before. Acts chapter 7, look if you will, verse 58. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. Notice what happened here. We're talking about Stephen, of course. And the Bible says in verse 58, and he cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was who? Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. And he says, lay not this sin to their charge. What a picture of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd be saying, Lord, sick them. And Stephen, because he was full of the Holy Ghost, because he is full of God, said, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Notice, if you will, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, he gave the okay to murder Stephen, a deacon of the first church, a preacher. Now notice this. He said, and at the time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And he goes on to say in verse 2, he says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made him a great lamentation over him. But notice verse 3, as for Saul, as for the one who was wreaking havoc and wreckage of the church, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. In other words, if you wanted to go to the church at Jerusalem, you were going to have to be committed. Right? You were going to have to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because here comes Saul and his little army, and they would take and they would persecute you and throw you into a jail just because you were going to church. Here was Saul. A lot of us don't read this part of Saul's life, but to understand the end of Paul's life, we must see him as Saul. Notice the wreckage there that we see in Paul, that Paul caused. Matter of fact, while you're over in Acts, turn to chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Before Saul was knocked on his back by God, notice what he was going to do. Verse 1, 9:1, he says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And then he goes on to talk about what he was doing. But notice what he was breathing out threatenings. I'm coming to take care of you, this church. I'm coming in. And so you see the wreckage that he had. But number two, I want you to see the second thing, the working of Christ. The working of Christ. In verses 16 in our text today, back in Galatians 1, we see verse 15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. When God separated Paul from that natural flesh, that naturalness that we're all born into, that mother's womb, he separated him from that. But notice what he separated him to. In verse 15 he said, please God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. The working of God, the working of Christ in Paul's life. Can I tell you, I can see the working of Christ in my life. I can see maybe I wasn't wreaking havoc on the church. But I tell you what, when I was lost, I was still just lost. Even though I may not necessarily have been an enemy of the church, I was an enemy of God. Because to be lost is to be an enemy of God. And as we see that Paul, his wreckage of the churches, but now we see the working of Christ in his life. He was given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 16. He talks about, and we'll use it again here in a minute, but he says, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach. Folks, can I tell you, the only way that you can say that you are doing anything for God is by the grace of God and the working of God in your life. You say, I hate going back to hometown. You know why? Because everybody just remembers me who I used to be. You know? That's why I don't go back there. We were at a gas station one time, and I saw a girl that I went to school with and graduated with. And of course, into my senior year, I, you know, put on the straight and narrow there a little bit. But I can say this, is that when we went back there, she said, well, what are you doing out? And I always just go, oh, this is going to take a while. You almost just want to say, I'm a car salesman. And they say, oh, that's good. But, you know, I'm like, I'm a preacher. Come on, Michael. That's what she did. And here we are in a gas station. I wanted to say, looks like you're doing real well, you know. I'm glad. Anyway, I didn't say that, though. But, you know, she was going to make fun of me, but she didn't. She said, really? You're a preacher? She said, how did that happen? I said, well, it was the working of Christ. I didn't choose it. How are any of us here tonight? There should be none of us here tonight. You know, I know we could take Miss Linda Reed and bring her up here, who I think is the epitome of a Christian woman. I think we could go to Proverbs 31 and read about Miss Linda Reed. you know, or any of some of you ladies. And now the kids may go, well, let me tell you, she's in Proverbs chapter 12. No, but I would say that Miss Linda Reed is a wonderful lady. But you know what? It's hard to say this, but Miss Linda Reed, well, there's a time in her life when she was lost. And she came from the same seed all of us did. It's the lost seed. And it's great, but all we see now is the masterpiece. It's just like whenever you hold up, you know, a masterpiece, it makes me think of barbecue sauce. Anybody know KC Masterpiece Barbecue Sauce? Well, if you do a little study in barbecue sauce, their first recipe didn't work out so well. You know, we see the end result of it, don't we? We see the finished product, and sometimes we miss the grace of God in somebody's life and the working of Christ in somebody's life. But can I tell you, Paul started out as wrecking the church and making havoc at the church, but now we see the working of Christ in his life. Now he went from a minister to being a missionary. Isn't that amazing? The working of Christ in our life. Folks, can I tell you, you know what Thanksgiving ought to really be about? It ought to be about us seeing the working of Christ in our life and being thankful for it. Man, I look at my life sometimes and I go, Lord, wow. I am amazed of what you have done in my life. I mean, I get to speak to people all the time. I don't like speaking to people. I'm an introvert. You put me in a cave, I'm happy. But you know what? The working of Christ in my life made it where I could talk to you. It made it where I could preach His Word. It was enabling Him. How are you teaching a Sunday school class? There's people before that I've went to and said, hey, would y'all teach a Sunday school? Uh-uh. Not us. That's been me too. No, I don't think I could teach a Sunday school class. Amen, some of y'all? Oh, well, we'll give it a try. And boy, you just see that class just take off. You're like, hallelujah. Preacher, we can't do a bus route. No, we don't. Well, we'll try. You see the working of Christ in their life. Preacher, I don't think I could ever sing a special. Now, they get up here and their knees are knocking a little bit. The pages are shaking a little bit. But God starts working in their life. You see kids that are raised in this church. And there's some kids I've known since birth here at this church. And I'm thinking, God help us. That was just with my kids, but... Now, you know, sometimes you look at people and you think, man, I don't know, God, I don't know what you... But then you see them, the masterpiece later on. And you think, it's the same way out at the seminary. We got some guys that come in the seminary and I go, oh, wow. God help us. 2 semesters into it, Brother Cox, you know what I'm talking about? You start seeing the light come on. And boy, God starts working in their heart and you're thinking, wow, is that the same person? Could you imagine when Paul went back to Jerusalem? Could you imagine when the Pharisees saw him, they're like, oh, here's one of our own. Wait a minute, there's something different about him. He's now not against the church, but he's for the church. He's now not destroying churches, but planting churches. We see the working of Christ in his life. Let me give you the last thing. I love this one. The last thing we see from going from a menace to a masterpiece, we see the wreckage of the churches. We see the working of Christ, but now we see the well-doing of Paul. The well-doing of Paul. Can I remind you, 3 missionary journeys? Somebody did the math for me. I didn't do it. But his 3 missionary journeys would have taken him somewhere around 10,338 miles traveled. Somebody else said that there is at least 15 churches. People think between 14 and 20 churches were started by Paul. Hallelujah. Can I remind you that a man that once was a menace to the church, once a man who wreaked havoc on the church, once a man who wanted to see the church die and be desolate and destroy it, is now planting churches? How can we explain that? It's God. The well-doing of Paul is all by the grace of God. All these churches started. Can I remind you that we are still today, in 2015, still reaping the benefits of Paul? We're preaching His Word tonight. Or preaching God's Word, but of course, God used Paul. and how he used him, we still are reaping. He still, yet though he's dead, he yet speaketh. Why? Because he's speaking through the word of God. And notice again verse 16 what he says to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Now notice what he says in verse 24. He says, and they glorified God, where? In me. The people he is trying to help, he said, I want them to see the Son of God in my life. He said, and they glorified God in me. In other words, they saw God's hand in my life. The well-doing of Paul was only because God was working through him. Shouldn't that be what we ought to be? Real lot of preached a message not too long ago talking about being a conduit of blessings or something like that. And well, that's what we should be. Paul was just a conduit that he allowed God to work through him. Folks, I don't know about you, but I know where I came from. I know where a lot of you came from. We came from the lost seed together. Amen. When we were born into this world, we were born sinners. We were all on equal playing ground. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done in your life. You're a sinner, period. Some of us, yeah, God, did God have to save you any more than he had to save me? No. Did God have to work on you maybe a little more than others? Probably. I can tell you a man right now who, whenever he was born into this world, was born into a family, half saved, the one half saved, the one half lost. His father's a drunkard. His father would beat his son. I tell you of a child who said, I'll never be like my father, and ended up being a drug addict and an alcoholic and all the other things that go with that. I know this guy because he's my brother. And can I tell you, it took God a little longer to work on my brother's life. But boy, once the Lord got a hold of my brother was getting, he was in his late 30s or 40s, I can't remember. He's old. He's real old compared to me. So he's 7 years older than I am. But can I tell you, I never will forget the night he called me and said, hey, I got saved. And you know what happened? You know what? God took a menace and he made him a masterpiece. I look at my brother now and I'm going, I went in October to see my brother. Well, I went down there to a fellowship meeting and spent some time with my brother. We went fishing together because that's the only thing we know how to fish and feed. That's the only thing we know how to do is eat and fish. And so we went and I was just sitting across the table. I never once heard my brother cuss. That was a miracle right there. My brother was like, you know, the Lord's working in these young men. Now he's working at a boys' home. I'm thinking, wow. My mom looks at us and just scratches her head. She goes, wow, there is a God. Just because I didn't have the outward sins my brother had, trust me, I was in the same spot. I'm glad God got me early. I always say, I'm glad God got me before I got caught. God's good, isn't he? We see the well-doing of Paul because of God. Now let me say, all of us, we started in the same spot. The will of God is for all of us to be conformed into the image of his Son. We know that through the book of Romans. And he doesn't want us to be conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we do it. We're going to move toward Christ. We're all going to, how are we going to live a life that's going to be pleasing to Christ? It's just going to be like, Lord, here am I. I have nothing of my own. I'm just here. And I want to offer myself to you. And you know what God will do? He'll use you. We'll look back and say, hey, you remember Dr. A.V. Henderson? How did he do what he did? How did the Brother Zellners and the Gary Coxes and the Wigginses, how did all the Renzes and the Clarks and the Feasers, how did they go through this path and stay there? How the Reeds and the Days and the Cooks and all these people, how did they do it? It's God. It was God. You can put it on my tombstone. It was God. Amen. He bought me, sought me. I mean, that's what he did. And I'm so glad tonight that I don't stand here waving my crown in the air. I wave my finger in the air and pointing it to God. Just as he said in the last verse, and they glorified God in me. They saw God in him. And they glorified God through what had happened in Paul's life. Can't imagine Paul coming into town, and usually his testimony preceded him. Oh, here comes the one that used to persecute the church. He comes into town. He's like, I'm from Baptist Church down here and like to see if you know Jesus Christ your Savior. They're, Paul, is that you? No, it's a different one. That's the old Saul is what you knew. Now I'm Paul. By the way, the word Paul, Paulus in the Greek means small. Isn't that amazing? Look it up, Peter's name. His name is Petra in Greek. What does that mean? Small pebble. Isn't it amazing how God uses small things? He'll use us. We're just small pebbles. We're just small in the economy of God, but God will use us if we'll let Him. Tonight, the life of Paul, a menace to a masterpiece. Everybody always says, boy, if I could just live like Paul, finish my course, I'd be a lot better off. Well, you know what? You can. We serve the same God. Matter of fact, we should be even better than Paul. Why? Because we have the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit that's helping us and directing us in our life. You know what we do? Just let God have it. Just, Lord, here's my life. I want you to have it. God, direct me. And God will take you. You know what? I wish all of us could watch videos of us when we were young. Uh-huh. Bunch of y'all with the hippie hair, and some of y'all probably did things you wouldn't want to put up on the screen. Amen? Oh, but if we showed the difference. The difference that Christ makes in our life. His working in our life. The old song they used to sing, I'm not the man I used to be. That's just, I'm not. Why is that? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, thank you for the great example you give us of Paul. God, how you took him from being a menace to a missionary to being a masterpiece of your grace. Lord, we realize you took him through a lot of things in his life. Lord, you allowed him to go through the trials and the scourgings and all those things. But Lord, certainly you made him a masterpiece at the end. And God, I pray that tonight there'd be somebody here that just say, Lord, I'm letting you have my life. Lord, I realize I started out on the same plane as everybody else. But Lord, where you'll take me will be up to you. Lord, I want you to use our lives tonight. Lord, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. Let's sing. If you need to come to the altar tonight, please come.